Hello and welcome to the next episode of Research VR, where we dig deep inside the realms of virtual reality. We are still at the hackathon, at the B2B hackathon in Brussels, and today we are going to speak about the fundamental potential of caves and power walls and how they might play still a role in the future. We have been talking a lot about HMDs and different technologies being the next big thing, and that we believe that in science and in business and maybe even in a private case, this is a way to go. But today we met a very interesting person, Wim van Dam.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I pronounced the name correct. So hi, yes. Welcome.
Thank you.
Working for Barco, and your official work title is?
On my business card, it says Black Belt Software Engineer.
Mm-hmm. You will tell us in a moment what it actually means. But Barco is doing what exactly?
Yeah, Barco is doing, actually Barco has two main markets, which is actually healthcare and entertainment. There's also enterprise. So in entertainment, we're mostly known from the cinema projectors. So the big things in the back when you go to the movies. But we also create equipment for live event shows. So all the lightning that you see on big events like Adele and stuff and Rolling Stones. And this is usually all typically Barco. Mm-hmm. But we're also already doing like virtual reality for about more than 20 years in a professional market. So especially in an automotive market and in a market of oil drilling, where they actually look in 3D where to drill for oil.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you have here on this hackathon is a setup like a powerwall, right?
Yes.
What exactly is it?
So the setup that we have here is actually called a cave. So it's actually what's being used in a professional world to get a feeling of virtual reality. So basically, there are screens or projected images all around you, and you can look at them with 3D glasses, and it really gives you a feeling as you are in a 3D environment, just like you are using a normal HMD like an Oculus or an HTC Vive.
Now, when we met with you, we were a little bit arrogant and said, well, isn't that the past of virtual reality? What did you tell us?
I told you that, we in the beginning also thought that, you know, these cave kind of systems would only be used in a very high-end professional market with very dedicated, very niche. Mm-hmm. But recently we are getting approached by a lot of people actually already have some experience with HMDs for about like 4 or 5 years. They're playing around and they come to us and they keep telling us like, this virtual reality experience is so good, but we really want to get rid of these HMDs because we have to discuss with people or collaborate with people. And the fact that there are these things on our head between us, this is really disturbing. And we know this cave concept. Can we kind of use it also for the application that we have in mind?
Yeah. You have also different systems, you're right. You have a big-ass computer that can render the NVIDIA demo, right?
Yes.
And you have also headphones with you that do position tracking.
Yes. So one of the things that we also done is looking in like 3D sound. So we actually, Barco already looked into 3D sound in live events. So we also got questions from artists that are saying like, we have all this nice stuff and on the live event, 3D object-oriented sound. But can we enable this on a stereo headset? Because actually most of our end users are actually listening to iTunes on their mobile phone. It would be so cool if we can actually enable also 3D sound. For example, the experience that you get with the virtual barbershop that most of people already heard on YouTube, which is actually awesome.
So we'll link to it, don't worry.
Yeah. So can you do this? So in the beginning, we thought this is not possible. And actually, we also thought that this kind of already was solved by Ambisonic or with the commercial stuff out there. But when we brought these commercial stuff to the artists, they were not happy. They said like, we understand the spatial, they said, but you know, the depth of the room. There is no real depth in the room. I want the depth. So then we start looking, can we also get depth? So we, as Barco, we looked into that. It was actually based on some stuff which was already available in a company that we acquired called Iozono. We looked into that, and now we have here a demo that actually enabled full 3D spatial sound on a stereo headset.
Okay, now let's do a quick segue to your work before Barco, so we don't focus so much on Barco, but actually on the technologies. What have you been doing before?
Before, so I'm already I'm in Barco for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So before, I was working for a startup company. a spin-off of IMEC, which is an electronic research institute in Belgium. And we were doing actually a solution or a simulation solution for SoC designs. So basically, the smartphones that you have in your pocket, most of them are actually designed on a, first on a simulator. So they write the software first on a simulator, and then they develop the SoC. Actually, they have they are from a world where they do not write software to support hardware, or actually they create hardware to support the software, which runs on it. And that's why they needed simulators.
And that means you're quite deep understanding about technologies, right? You understand how processors work, you understand how compilers work, and you're also understanding how the whole computer in general is perceived, right?
Yeah, so to create these simulators, we had like a very in-depth experience in how computer architecture in general works, and how, I mean, simply how you get from, let's say, from your C-sharp language onto the single zeros and ones on on your CPU. So this kind of path, this is something we understood very well, because the performance, I mean, simulation performance, also the computing performance was very important.
I see. To improve. Now, my mistake, I didn't introduce Krzysztof Zdebski, who is also here, our regular co-host.
I'm sitting there in the background observing two beautiful men here talking to a microphone.
I'm getting red.
I'm getting.
Oh my god. Yeah. Now, Chris, tell me your stance before the hackathon regards caves.
So my stance regards caves...
And your experience.
And my experience to caves was that, first of all, they are very expensive hardware, which means that only very rich, very big companies can afford them. And then another point about them is that they are not really mobile, so that you actually have to have a building devoted to them. So once you build a cave, it's pretty much a room that always is going to be a cave. And then the experience I had in one of the big companies in Germany, where I tested their power wall and their cave, was that people who use the caves really don't care about the things that we care in virtual reality now. So they were totally satisfied with 5 frames per second, which I almost cried on the spot there. The graphical quality is so scary that I'm not sure if I want to enter it, because they just load a model as it is, and in popular CAD programs, you just have a blue background so that you're not distracted from all the models. But if you put, if you're walking inside a room where you just have this model in the blue background, it's actually painful to your eyes, or just painful to your psycho, in the sense that it's a bit scary. So overall, the user experience was really ignored in the caves that I experienced and in the caves I read about.
Now, how would you counter that, Wim?
Well, actually, I think most of what he says, maybe all, is actually true. I mean, if you look at the professional caves, I mean, the interface is how professional, so-called professional people interact with them. They have a controller. If you look at the user interface of that controller to actually compare with what HTC Vive controllers are today to interact with this, I mean, these Vive controllers are so much user-friendly than what this professional gear is doing. Actually, as somebody that actually used to the Vive and goes into a professional cave and gets these professional controllers, he thinks they're broken because they don't act like this is not used. I mean, actually, that's normal, because these things are typically standardized by having 5 people or 10 people in an ivory tower actually deciding on things on cost, but not really on usability. So consumer is really showing the way here how things should be. Another point I want to make, I mean, is that caves are, you don't look at caves as the only solution for an immersive experience, because an even cave will have its limitations. So I can give you an example where we were approached by somebody selling real estate. So it was a high-end market, and he was currently selling it through HMD. So basically, he was creating virtual reality models, and he was to convince his clients to pay a lot of money for expensive homes. Yes.
Quick question, were those modern HMDs? So like post-Oculus, so Vive or Oculus or Gear VR or something before that?
It was Oculus. It was definitely not VR Gear. because okay. they really need, they've really focused on rendering.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not really have a problem with the quality of the HMDs.
But it was the face, right?
It was the face. I mean, it was a sales guy. So the fact that he had to give this HMD to the customer and the customer had a nice experience, he was kind of decoupled from the customer face. And like, I mean, I think this is normal to sales guys. They kind of want to see the expressions of their customer and they know how to interact with this. So he was actually approaching us and he wanted a cave. And very quickly come to the conclusion that actually a cave would not solve it at all. Because if you really want to experience a cave in 3D, you still need like active glasses on your head. So there we come up with something which is called projection mapping. I think from his experience and to get immersed, it was actually a lot easier to actually 3D print the model and use projection mapping technology to give texture and actually simulate days, nights, lightning.
Can you explain a little more about projection mapping?
Projection mapping?
Yeah, what is it?
Projection mapping is basically getting... Well, you can... If people familiar with game engines and could understand projection mapping as... You have somewhere a model which is typically white, and this would be your mesh. And you use a projector or multiple projectors to actually project an image onto that model. And basically, that's your texture. I mean, you can say, like, why don't you just, like, color the model or paint it? Well, the big difference is, of course, you with projection mapping, you can put life in that model. So you can project cars,
sunlight,
you can project moving sun, come up sun, you can whatever. So you can do some visual effects there.
It's very interesting.
How does it help with real estate?
How does it help? Well, it gives you an immersive expression. And when you come in the room, and this guy was very satisfied because he brought his customer in the room and the customer should not be equipped with any technical, so no boundaries from him. So he immediately gets in and get immersed as of day one. Just get the expression. I mean, for that business, I mean, the storytelling that they wanted to do, then really fit it.
Yeah. This is something that was very surprising to me when we talked before the podcast, where you were giving me different cases where you could combine a HoloLens with a cave, or you could combine an HMD with a cave, and you could combine all kind of different technologies. And it kind of was very surprising to me that like a company like Barco has people that are so innovative thinking. So how could you combine all those technologies? What are the different cases? Like HoloLens and, for example, in cave.
Yeah, so combining a HoloLens style or HoloLens type of technology with a cave could also be interesting, because you can say, like, we keep the cave in 2D images and we bring in the 3D context through the HoloLens. So this is actually, we have not done it yet, but it's on our plans to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in Barco, we actually have a group, which is currently called Be Immersed, that's actually their main objective is to play around with these things to understand. Because I've been talking about, like, bringing immersive experience without an HMD, we're still playing around with it. I don't think the problem as of today is actually solved. We're still learning, and we see where it goes. So one thing, as a remark to the equipment being expensive and even sometimes very hard to use. I mean, about the expensive part, yes. I mean, you need quite of good gear to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Can you name the price range?
If I'm not mistaken, the projectors, depending on what your use case, but I think in a typical cave when they're used, I think it's about 20K list price for one projector.
And then you need as many projectors as you want to cover walls.
You also need tracking equipment. Mm-hmm. So typically in these caves, the high-end tracking is being used.
Mm-hmm. Which might change with the lighthouse.
Which might change with the now. Exactly. So the setup here is actually having a Kinect. Will it be as good as with a professional art?
Camera.
Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, it's a different market. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you use the technology in a different way. And professional, for example, for this car design and this oil drilling, it's actually used. This technology is used to get it as real as possible. While if you go to entertainment, and I mean, the faker the better is. It usually the gives you the best experience.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, as you remember from the previous podcast, Chris and me have usually the target group of engineers, and we usually have this scenario where the engineer is kind of putting a headset on and walking a little and then continue working. Now, we honestly don't believe that someone will, in the short future, have a headset 8 hours per day on. I guess we can agree on that, right?
In the very near future, yes. If they solve a few usability issues, like putting a fan inside or making
okay,
a computer,
but
that's a different discussion.
With the current hardware and even something that will come after that, you can't imagine a person having it all the time on. But when you switch the devices so seamlessly, right, when you have some kind of cave environment, even a mobile cave, which you can maybe explain in a moment how it works, and some kind of gear or some kind of Oculus, some kind of HoloLens, and you kind of intermix them in between. So you have for different use cases, basically different hardware, right?
Yeah. So yeah, basically about the headset, I mean, again, I think the headset will be a consumer device, and I think it can be heavily used. For example, if you see that gaming is mostly done between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the evening, I think that's a perfect time window to use an HMD, and I think for gaming it will be used.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see that the games which are today are good, but I think the games that will come will even a lot better, and really have
definitely
been designed to work in VR. Today the games are mostly like existing storytelling, which is VR made a little bit VR. But in a cave or projection mapping system, it will be more about actually bringing your content to a large group of audience, it is difficult sometimes for very practical reasons, for with hygiene that you have to switch, and then you can use projection mapping or caves.
I see.
Yeah.
So one problem I have with caves, with any caves I read about and tested about, is that I don't really have the first person perspective. So what I mean here is that when I put the headset on, let's say Vive, then the controllers are as far from my head as my hands are in the real world. So if I do anything in there, I have, so let's say, absolute first-person perspective. What happens in caves is that even though I have a controller in my hand, this controller is visualized on that screen and it doesn't give me this overlay of the controller on the screen on my hand. And so the whole user interface and the way I perceive what happens in the cave changes dramatically. How would you address that in your caves?
Well, to be honest, the caves I've seen in Barco, where the controllers are actually not being modeled. So there they used the physical controller as the real controller. And you would, for example, have a teleporting beam being projected, and this would feel as it would come out of this real physical device.
Do you have much experience with content where you not only have some pointer or teleporter, but you have so let's call it real life situation. So you have a training situation where you need to press some buttons and things like that.
I have seen some stuff, but of course, I mean, most of the content is really designed for market specifications and to regulations. And I think if you compare this with entertainment, you should not do this, because entertainment, that's completely different. That's all about the user.
And there is one use case where I saw, I think, this projection technology. I think it was on the CeBIT a few years ago, where they had like a real car, but painted white. And with projectors, they were projecting basically the tubes and the electricity lines and all the inside of the car on the car. So you kind of would see it, and you could, I think, somehow interact with it and grab it. So, I mean, maybe we should stop thinking too much about the wall, because the wall is great. And maybe for some use cases it's great, but it's more like you could project on anything, right?
Yep.
On a real object that resembles it, like for training purposes,
yep,
or to actually show how the outline and the car is and stuff, right?
Yeah. So but also, like I said, I mean, we're experimenting with this, and I think it's far from solved. We're just learning how actually it could be used in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And we really already found out that the setting or the requirements are totally different.
Yeah.
For example, one of the problems that we see, I mean, still, I mean, caves, there are horrible things to set up. They need hours, days of calibration.
Even the mobile ones?
Even the mobile ones still needs fairly amount of calibration. And even, I mean, if it's uncalibrated, you need to fly in the professional guy. I mean, for sure, this will never work in somewhat a low-end market or even a prosumer market. I mean, this is unaffordable.
But there is one point about resolution. Let's say the PSVR went even lower than the Vive and the Oculus, right? And the resolution is really meant for someone who can afford privately a computer, like maybe a higher one or a cheaper one. But what I saw with your projectors is that the resolution is really crisp. Now, it might be a benefit, right? Because the hardware that will support higher resolution will obviously cost more because it will be to a very limited group of people having this calculation power. So it means that technically one could argue, right, that it doesn't matter whether I buy a very expensive headset or a very expensive cave, or I still have to decide, right? But the resolution thingy is already there and you can offer it.
Yep.
Is this something that is true?
That is something which is definitely true. I mean, caves in general have high resolution because if you see the markets that are currently active, the resolution is extremely important. So, for example, for car design and car manufacturer, they really want to see it, the image extremely crisp, and also the color calibration. They want the red or the blue to be exactly the blue as how the real physical car will be painted. They don't want to have any difference from this. But again, for an entertainment, this will most likely be different also towards resolution.
Oh, that's true. I mean, we are research, we are right. We are anyway not very focused on entertainment.
Yep.
Entertaining is driving the progress that we are all profiting from. That's for sure. I mean, I guess you said also that after the HMDs came out, there is a higher interest in caves too.
Yes.
So it kind of pushes the whole ecosystem anyway.
Yes.
But how do you see maybe the cave usage in research? You know, of any cases where recently researchers chose cave systems?
Yes, so caves, there are cave systems. I know that they are used. I do not know of any installation myself, but I know that they are being used actually to investigate places where humans are not able to come, but where you can fly in drones. And actually the images that these drones collect are actually being analyzed by one or two people in a cave system. Again, why cave system? Because they can collaborate. I mean, they can sit and decide on what they see and they can...
I see. Now, regards the caves, I think we discussed them fair enough. And, I mean, point taken, you're being a little biased because you're from Barco.
Of course.
But you feel like go more inside an independent and more like long-term future of VR, AR, and all those different devices, right? I mean, you provide some hardware, also provide some hardware. We don't focus right now on one specific device, but how do you see it in general moving? Like, what I saw, you're experimenting with a lot of devices.
Yep.
You're trying out to figure things. What's your feeling?
Feeling about what? How VR will go to?
Like VR, AR, caves, all the different systems. Where is it going? Like, we have something on the head which will be portable and will, you know, solve all the problems.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is like looking into the future.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, the fact that you now have these, let's say, consumer affordable gears, Oculus, even VR gear, PlayStation VR. I mean, really people now understand the value of VR. And if you would ask about my future, about my dream, I'm also feel very interested in actually domes. So things which are domes. You can say that's kind of a far-fetched. Well, actually not, because I'm still convinced that in the near future, most of people will have one. Look at your self-driving car. I mean, they're not far from having a dome, actually. Why?
So dome is the idea, like you have an observatory, and then the picture is projected on the whole ceiling that has a different rectangular feeling. And then in the car, you can project it just as well, and then you have the... Every surface in a car can become a screen.
Yes. So basically my living room becomes more like the Fahrenheit book style, where I have like not screens but projectors, and everything is basically a living screen, right?
You're not the first person that tells me about this concept. I already heard multiple people that told me about the idea of 360 degree projector. So you put the thing in the middle of your room or at the bottom of the ceiling, and then every wall, everything in your room becomes the part of augmented virtual reality sort of thing, new definition needed.
Actually, Microsoft also had their concept, I linked the video, where they use different projectors to make the living room living, and by the Kinect, they actually could project like small people running on those surfaces, you could shoot at them or something. It was even collaborative with many people in this room.
Yeah.
So there are some kind of...
But I think I currently put this under a dream, and I mean, and one of the reasons is I find self-driving cars interesting, because let's say if you close the windows, then you kind of have your personal dome and you want...
I had a chance also on the CeBIT actually to try out a prototype from Intel, I guess 3 years ago. I had it. Pico projector, so a laser projector mounted on a weapon-like controller. And what you would do, you would be in a circular room and you would play a first-person shooter. Yes. You would turn around with a gun, and the gun would basically be your mouse that you point inside the game, right? And you can shoot, but the picture is not everywhere, but always in front of you.
Yeah.
So that is something like a portable cave then, or a portable projector?
Yes, but there are. I can give you another example about such a, let's say, projection mapping experience, which is in Muskrum. There is a battle card.
Uh-huh.
And this is actually a karting experience where they project the circuit where you have to ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's not physical there. It's just a white floor, and they project. They project the track,
and you drive on it.
You drive. It's actually you playing Mario Kart,
but in real.
In real.
Mm-hmm. Where can I play it?
In Moscow, you can play.
Where is Moscow?
It's close to Kortrijk. And
which is where?
In Belgium.
Okay.
So it's in Belgium. So you're not, we're in Brussels, so you're not far off.
Mm-hmm. And we will try to find a link for that.
Yes, and you really have to try, because it's really fun, because you're actually driving a track, and you have to collect points, and you can even shoot your opponents, and you can fire a weapon. So this is all done with projection, so this is very immersive.
Now, in case we have audience that is super excited now about caves and stuff, I understood that you have some Unity plugins, but I guess it's pretty hard for especially young developers to start, because it's easier to buy an HMD than buy a cave. Is the development process different for them? Or like, as long as you have VR experience, you would also manage to develop for
the cave
projection systems?
So interior game engines are, can perfectly handle a cave. But the problem is that they're not abstracted. I mean, they don't have any easy, or it's not by default integrated. So one thing that we saw, it's not ideal, is that currently having these caves or whatever projection mapping is extremely difficult, because you need to know about the projection matrices and
how do you
all
start,
that,
yeah.
And all that stuff. So you start with quite a lot of math. What we also doing now is can actually be abstracted and provide plugins to people, so this job actually becomes a lot easier to them. So basically they can start off with maybe very cheap gear. I mean, you can already buy pretty cheap projectors, and let's try out stuff. Let's play and see how you get there. For example, there are these events like Bring Your Own Beamer and stuff. I mean, maybe these things are...
Bring your own beamer.
Yeah, bring your own beamer, and then you can see if it's being used. I mean, it's... and see.
How about we call the episode Bring Your Own Beamer?
Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Nice. Now,
beamers.
Beamers. Bring your own beamers. A lot of beamers. Projectors.
Well, you could bring your Pico projectors.
Yeah, exactly.
Teeny tiny, fit in your pocket. You can bring six.
No,
why not?
LAN parties those days are way more different than I used to be.
Beamer party.
Beamer parties. Now, you did something completely different before VR. You were working with those processor simulations, and then you switched, apparently, out of interest to the VR topic, because...
Out of interest, and because also the startup company, which was called Coware, was acquired by Synopsys, and I think it was kind of time to, start...
But you seem to do it since 3 years. What is your intrinsic motivation?
Generally, I always liked the entertainment side of business, because you really meet a lot of people also in the startup job. I mean, you meet a lot of interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
People with a story, very smart people, but with talents and sometimes, especially in software. And I like that. I mean, it's people who are very driven, they have a passion and they go for it. And it's not because some people tell them it's not true that they will stop from pursuing their passion.
Their dream, and their passion, I get it.
And I like that kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So
Now we have been discussing different aspects of different technologies. Would you both agree on that it's not like cave versus HMD, but more like a diverse and intermixed future?
I fully agree. So I don't think, I think it would be bad, or it would be actually wrong to look at like a cave versus HMD, or a cave versus projection mapping versus HMD or whatever.
That's more a combination, yeah.
Yeah, it's more a combination. For example, like I said, we want to play around to using HoloLens in a cave and then see what it brings, because I think each thing has its own
advantages.
Own pros and cons, advantages, and
if you're already in a room, you could try Meta.
Yeah, I can try Meta. I mean, there are, I've seen other, I mean, to your resolution part, I've already seen an HMD which has like 2K resolution per eye,
yeah,
which is from a, I mean, from a quality point of view, pretty pretty mm-hmm. expressive. And that still get quite hot around the ears. But it was mm-hmm. a prototype, so it's
good in winter.
Good in winter, yes, yeah, exactly. But it's, I mean, this VR, it's so exciting. And I mean, it's still, I mean, stuff is in progress. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And
okay.
Considering the figure that we saw in US, this is the combination path of different technologies is actually pretty exciting. So we've seen this solution. I assume I should not tell too much about it, but we've seen this solution where in one room, you as a user could choose HoloLens, Vive, or Google Tango tablet. And so you were wearing HoloLens, and the other player with another HoloLens was a Darth Vader. You were the Rebel, and you had a lightsaber that was overlaid on the HTC Vive controller. And then Google Tango was a training droid that was shooting small lasers at you.
And on a tablet, you would see what the two guys with the HoloLens were seeing, and they would see each other as Darth Vader, and on the other hand, the tablet as a drone, which is actually quite fascinating. So I would say we should slowly wrap up, right?
Yeah.
I would just to underline that our motivation for this episode was particularly to give the chance for someone who is working on caves, projection mapping and other technologies to give his perspective, because I'm pretty sure that Chris and me were rather negatively attituded regards those technologies, maybe because we are on the hype train and we are love of HMDs and stuff.
Or I'm negatively primed by the technologies I saw.
Chris is negatively primed, or negatively primed in general, as you might know. Chris is usually the negative guy. I was a positive guy. Yay. No, but I hope that you enjoyed the episode and you have a better understanding of the different technologies now. And
that was a
together.
Very bad episode.
What?
No, I'm just presenting my negative attitude.
Ah, he's presenting. No. It's very, very good episode.
I like the episode.
Yeah, it's fine, right? Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Any last words?
Hear you next time.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you very much for joining. And without further ado, goodbye.
Bye-bye.